The readings of today are most interesting. On the first hand, St. Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, but there might have been only one for that matter, because most people don't listen. I think maybe there's one here that listens. The rest of you are just fluttering around. The thing is, he tells us not to do the evil things that those who are not of the house of God, of the household of God, do. Do not covet evil. Many people do covet evil. They think it's good, but it's not. Do not become idolaters. And of course, anyone who worships or puts into place of worship anything that is not God himself is an idolater. And then, of course, he reminds them of the punishments that God sent to his people. The serpents. Interesting here, St. Paul says, they tempted Christ. Now, of course, at the time of Moses in the desert, when they were doing all kinds of evil things, and they were murmuring. That's a very serious sin, by the way. Most people don't realize it. They love to murmur. Most people have two mouths, one on either side of their face. With one they praise and lavish obsequious, lavish nonsense upon the people whom they think they are praising. Of course, those of us who know very well that it is nothing. And then on the other hand, they murmur, oh, look what he's saying, look what he's doing. Nothing has changed, not since the time of Adam and Eve. And then, of course, many of them died by the serpents. But St. Paul says they tempted Christ, because Christ is God. They did not know him particularly yet, as we know him. But he was there, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Son who became the Son of Man also, Christ. And so they tempted him. They refused to believe in him. And then many were killed, and our Lord sent the symbol, the brazen serpent. And of course, for the heretics who are iconoclasts, they say, you're not supposed to have any graven images. Well, what is God telling them to do here? Create a serpent of brass and put it up on a stick. It's a symbol of his Son. And whoever looks upon that brass serpent will be saved from the poison of the serpents. It's right there. And many other instances in the Old Testament. And then, of course, he warns us. He that thinketh himself to stand, what does this mean? It means he who thinks for himself that he is very virtuous and holy and upright, standing, watch it, lest you fall. The higher the pedestal, the longer the fall. And, of course, he warns us. And the greatest of all the sins, the original sin of Satan, the original sin of Adam and Eve, was pride. So if you think you're so good and holy, be careful lest you fall. And do not be tempted as those who were tempted. But you also need to have issue with temptation. It is interesting, all through at least the latter part of the night, I was in a terrible battle with many demons. I don't know where it came from or what the reason was, but of course that's my job principally, to be at battle with the demons. Some of them had faces that I recognized, but I will not mention them to anyone. the battle. We must take issue with the tempter and with temptation. And then here is something that I need to point out. Of course, you know, it's very simple to make a particular translation or this or that, like a God unto himself. Now, I'm not sure what translation they're using, I guess. So it is usually Elizabethan English, which is beautiful if you're doing Shakespeare, you know, Macbeth or Hamlet, or my favorite one, A Midsummer's Night Dream. But this is the liturgy, and this is what Archbishop, or as we called him, Monsignor Lefebvre, told me. A lot of reform has to be done to the liturgy, but not what they have done. I agree with him 100%. But it's interesting, the introit of today, so beautifully chanted. And of course, I wish I could stop, but I'm doing so I could listen to it and nothing else. But it has to be background music for me while I instance the altar and do what the things that God wants me to do. We all have to make sacrifices. But this caught me very, very much, especially today. Ecce Deus adiuvat me, et Dominus susceptores anime mee. Now, here in English, it says, the Lord, behold, God is my helper, and the Lord is the protection of my soul. That is not the Latin. The Latin says, behold, God helps me. It's different. It's the same, but it's different. And that just shows you that not all translations are to be canonized, nor should they. Of course, newer translations, which are not translations at all, forget them. So this is about as good as we can get. We have nothing else to do about that. But God helps me. That is a statement of fact. We have many helpers, Mary and the saints and the angels, our guardian angels in particular. But here it doesn't say exactly, he is my helper, though he is, ultimately. It says, God helps me. It's a statement of fact. If we are willing to accept it, God helps us. God helps me. And then we go to our Lord. This is a magnificent pericope of the Gospel. According to St. Luke, the beloved physician, one of the 72 disciples, who was very much in tune with not only the divinity of Christ, but the humanity of Christ. Christ became man so that he could suffer for us. It was not just a robe that he put on. Do your clothes weep? Do your clothes hurt? Even if you light them on fire, do they hurt? No, you hurt. But that's not what Christ did. He became man just so that he could suffer for us and give his blood for us on the cross. By his blood we are saved. Without his blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. And so here, St. Luke shows us the very deep. And if you think you're human, you don't know anything. Christ is a million times more human than you and I. In a pure, holy, and deep humanity. And what does he do in this humanity that he has taken over to himself, united to his divine person in the hypostatic union? He comes to Jerusalem. Now, you don't think he saw this from the beginning of time? You don't think he saw this every day of his life? And of course, he did on the cross. But in this particular moment, each of us too has their particular moment. In this particular moment, our Lord looked at Jerusalem and began to weep human tears from his human but also divine eyes, that he took over in order to suffer for us. Can there be any suffering like unto his suffering? Of course not. We can unite our sufferings to his suffering. And so here he weeps over Jerusalem. Stubborn, proud, ungrateful Jerusalem. Does that remind you of anybody? And don't point the finger at somebody else. Point the finger at you. Proud, ungrateful Jerusalem. Who did not recognize the time of her visitation. And what does that mean? Christ came to Jerusalem. He came to his people. They are constituted, especially in the desert. And they recognized him not. How many times does Christ not come to you? In different ways, but especially in the sacraments, especially in the Holy Sacrament of the Eucharist, and you do not recognize him? Are we here just to look at the ceiling tiles, as beautiful and expensive as they were? Are we here to just listen to the cantor, as wonderful as he was? Are you here to just listen to me, as erudite as I am? No. We are here because we are here to worship God. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who is incarnate by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary into Jesus Christ, true God and true man. And who has given us himself in the most holy Eucharist, in the most holy sacrament of the Eucharist, where we receive, where we eat his body and blood, soul and divinity. Do we recognize the time of our visitation? There will come a time for you and me, for some of us earlier than others, when we will have that final visitation. And then it will not be Christ who will be weeping. It will be you and I. I have missed it all, O Lord. I have concentrated on all the nonsense of this world. I have missed thy visitation. And then he chased the unjust and dishonest money changers of the temple, out of the temple. But today too we have so many. And it is not just about money, though money is also to be found. Of course, remember the saying in French, cherchez la femme, cherchez l'argent. Look for the woman, look for the money. Two of the greatest sources of sin. Chases him out. And he says, this is the house of God. And you know, this temple is a house of God. And of course, that's what we insist for people to be properly dressed. And some people don't like it when they're told, well, you know, this is not Walmart. This is not a picnic. This is not the beach. This is the house of God, for heaven's sakes. And people come here in all kinds of disarray. We don't necessarily want to humiliate them, but we do need to teach them. That is my job. That is my vocation. And then, of course, we have so many other things that we dare not approach. Now, one thing that I spoke about at the other masses, you know, the clergy of most ages, but the clergy of today in particular, are not teaching, are not instructing, are not giving us that which we need. And of course, you know that here you will receive it, whether you like it or not. lump it or like it, I don't care. And one thing, and I don't mean to offend anyone, but I need to warn, which I have spoken about this weekend because it came up, and I have spoken to some of you in person, and that is nobody's business who you are. Today, many people, if you go around, we went on a pilgrimage to Our Lady from Succor, where we lit, or I lit, many, many candles. I ran out of candles. I didn't run out of money, thank God, but I ran out of candles for you, for you. But everywhere we went, in the wonderful city of New Orleans, but you don't have to go to New Orleans, you just go to the store, to the post office, to the restaurants, and everybody, almost everybody, is tainted with one of the things that I detest the most in the world, tattoos. Cardinal Zen, who's not afraid of anybody either, told one of the bloggers who was, you know, for heaven's sakes, and he said, cover up your tattoos and stop mouthing off nonsense. Good for Cardinal Zen. Now, he's not perfect, but he said the truth. All the great exorcists of the church, the late Father Amorth, the still living Father Ripperger, and myself too, who have also been involved in this very serious endeavor of the church, warn you that tattoos are opening the door to Satan. Piercings are too, but not quite as bad. Of course, some piercings are totally immoral, where they are and how they are. And you have to answer to God. You know, you don't have to answer to me. When you die, I'm not going to be there with you. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. I'll probably die before you. But you will have to answer to God. What have you done to the body that I gave you? And so we need to teach. And the problem is that many of the priests have tattoos themselves. It's atrocious. Disgusting. I could name names, but I won't. There was one on the internet that everybody thought was so great. Whenever somebody thinks somebody is so great, immediately the exclamation point and the question mark come up next to their faces to me. I don't like things that are popular. I never have. Not since I was 4. And then one day, all of a sudden, he comes out in short sleeves, no cassock, of course, God forbid. And all his arms are all tattooed everywhere, this young priest. What a horrible example. I hope he listens to this sermon. He can if he wants. But you need to listen. You are my sheep. I need to take care of you. And if I have to beat you with my cane, I will, so help me God. Remember this. Now, if you have from the past, before you were converted, before you truly belong to Christ and to holy tradition, then you need to have them anointed and blessed. Don't bother spending money, take them away. Give the money to the poor or to the church or to the roof or whatever. But they need to be blessed and anointed with holy oils to deliver you from the devils. It is very evil. And so don't say that I didn't warn you. And so I'm trying to tell you, your body is a temple of God. Do not desecrate it as the money changers desecrated the holy temple of Jerusalem, which is no more. Be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. Be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.